This morning I bring to you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who gathers us this morning. Today begins the season of Lent, and what this is a sacred observance of the weeks leading to the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In today's observance, we want to take a close look at our Old Testament lesson this morning as God calls Father Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. This scripture reading is relevant for today's message because as we relate it to Calvary, we will realize that God had to make a very difficult decision as well. So let's together unfold the event of this story as I speak to you this morning under the theme, Having a Glimpse of Calvary. Having a glimpse of Calvary. Over and again in the Old Testament, we find portraits of events that point to the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here today is one which gave us a glimpse of what the Father and his Son had to go through in this great fight against sin and death. And so the first thing we want to look at in the text this morning is the challenge. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, it says, sometime later God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. And then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there on a burnt as a burnt offering. He set out for the place God had told him about. Now, the reading tells us that God tested Abraham. Notice that this was not a test to do evil, for the Lord is never a party to sin, according to James chapter 1, verse 13. But rather, this is a trial or test of Abraham's faith. God is testing Abraham's faith, as we see in the text this morning. We know there is no doubt that Abraham loves Isaac, his son. But also, Abraham also loves God. And we can see that looking back at his life, Abraham's life from chapter 12 of Genesis, where God called him and asked him to leave his family and his country because of the call of God upon his life. He left his family, left his father's house, and left his country and his people and went to the place that God had sent him because he loved God. He's about to prove the depth of this love for God as God is testing him and asking him to sacrifice his son on the altar. Abraham had waited for about 25 years for Isaac to be born. Isaac is somewhere around 25 years or 15 years old, rather. And he is the fulfillment of all that God had ever promised to Abraham. Now God says to him, give him up, give him back. I need him. What a test of faith that is. There are two illustrations or two things we gather from in this text this morning. The first is that there are some people who love the Lord more than everything else in this world, even themselves. Yet there are people in the world who love God that very much. And we see so many of those instances in the Bible. Like the three Hebrew boys were told to bow down and worship Baal. And they said to the king, we will not do that. We know that God is able, our God is able to deliver us from this snare. But even if he doesn't do it, we will not bow down to your idol. And over and again in the Bible, we see several people who have been obedient to God in this manner. Like the apostles, who were beaten so many times with many stripes and landed in prison because of their faith. Because of their love for God. Like we find in our time and age today, that the world is against the church. And the world is doing everything in her power to cause us to walk away or swear away from our faith. And unfortunately, some people are falling prey to it, whereas other Christians are standing firm on this foundation. No matter what come, no matter what the storm is, they continue to remain steadfast in God. It is because of the love of God that is inside their hearts that is driving this passion to continue to serve him no matter what the situation is. Paul asks a question in the Bible in Romans 8. What shall separate me from the love that I have found in Jesus Christ? He says nothing. Nothing. And here we find a man who says these same words in the Old Testament. Abraham says, nothing will separate me from the love that I have found in Jesus Christ. The second thing is God is also painting a picture of his love for humanity here. This is what I am about to do, he's telling Abraham. You go through it and see what it feels like, because this is exactly what I'm about to do. At this point, let us not miss the lesson for that is real in this text. All right? Real faith is always tested. Real faith is always tested, because in order to have a testimony, there has to be a test. All right? And a lot of times, we are looking for testimonies in our lives without the test. But before you can get a testimony, there has to always be a test. And this is why James, in the book of James, we are told not to count it joy, rather, when we fall into these different kinds of temptation or testings. Because it says that when we go through these trials, it is when our faith is tested, we come out with a testimony. But many times we don't want the testimonies, or the test, rather. But in order to get a testimony, you have to have a test in your life. So if you're going through a test this morning, no matter what it is, we need to learn to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and continue to hold on to his unchanging hands as we go through the time of storms. Because you know what? There will be your testimonies for those who believe in him and trust in his saving faith. And so we look onto that test. But when God trusts you, he always tests you. Why? For two reasons. The first reason why God always tests us is to show us that he takes care of us. He cares about us, and he's going to take care of us. That's the first reason why he tests us. Imagine what it would be like if Christians did not go through tests and trials. We wouldn't know that there is a God. But the reason why we know that there is a God is because we go through trials and testings in this life. And as we go through it, God comes through and he shows forth his glory and he shows forth a miracle. And we walk away from that giving praise and honor to his name. Every time there is a test, there is a testimony for those who stand firm in the Lord. And so Abraham is going through his test here. And so God also showed the world, he does this to show the world his glory, that he is God. And over and again in the Old Testament, he told the Israelites, he said that they should know that he is God and that he's going to work miracles in their lives so that the people who did not know him would know that he is God. And this is the reason why he comes in our lives and he works miracles in our lives so that people around us would see and know that he is God. So we looked at the challenge. Let's look at the cost. In Genesis 22, verse 3 and 4, it says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. All right. Now, the cost here is almost beyond calculation. All right, it says that then God said, take your son. Not only that, but he says, your only son whom you love, Isaac. God is describing to Abraham the level of his love for his son, almost like as though he's trying to tell him that this should be a difficult thing for you, or this should be an impossible thing for you. Because you know how much you love Isaac, and now I'm telling you to go and sacrifice him on the altar. And in obedience, Abraham is taking this journey, and he's making this decision because God said so for him to go do this. But now, I hear God saying here to Abraham, this is what I am going to do. I will give my son. And this is exactly the pains that I'm going to go through. And I want you to feel it and see what it's going to be like. We know this to be true because in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the prophet prophesies. He says, unto us a son is given. Who is that son? God's son. God gave his son to the world. In John 3, 16, he says, he gave his only begotten son. God gave his son to the world. In Matthew 17, verse 5, or like Mark 1, where we read this morning, God, Jesus is coming out of the water. And God says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. God declares to us that he loved Jesus Christ so much. But yet he's willing to offer him up on the cross for our sins. This is what I'm going to do, Abraham, God tells him as he goes up this mountain. So you see, folks, salvation did not cost us anything, but it cost God everything. In order for us to be saved this morning, it cost God everything, but it cost us nothing. I was at the Mark train station on Wednesday morning distributing flyers or tracts, gospel tracts. And some people came and looked at the tract and brushed it off. Some people looked at it and threw it down. It meant nothing because it didn't cost anything. We live in a world now where people try to buy expensive stuff. You know, it has to have some kind of brand name on it, and it has to cost enough money to buy it because we want to wear it or have it. So when folks see it with us, they know that we are not, you know, some kind of, you know, somebody from up out there on the street corner. They want to show forth that they have money and they have wealth. And in order to show forth that you have wealth or to equalize yourself with those who are up there, you have to buy things that are very expensive. And so things, to earn things, you have to buy them. And that's the kind of mindset we have. But we have to understand that when God came, salvation is the most expensive thing that man has ever earned. Because it gives us eternal life. It gives us eternal life, but God paid for it on the cross. Jesus paid it all. And all to him we owe. Sin left us a crimson stain, but God came and washed it white as snow with the blood of Jesus Christ. But look at the compliance in this text. Abraham never wavered. Yes, he was troubled, but he never wavered. Abraham gathered together all of the things he needed to worship God and left for the hill. He did not waver. The thing is, Abraham knew the voice of God. Abraham understood God's voice when he spoke, and he followed God's command. It didn't make sense, but he followed. And so this is where he gets at this point, where he is walking with God and is following God's command, and he is not wavering about what God says. Abraham gathered together all of his stuff and is on his way. This is a painted picture of our Heavenly Father. When God said to the serpent in Genesis 3 that the seed of a woman will crush your head, you will bruise his heel. When God said those words, God never wavered. He kept that promise, and he walked with the Israelites throughout the wilderness. And he took them to the promised land. And he stayed with them throughout that time. He never wavered. He kept the promise until his son was born. Until Jesus came and lived on the earth and showed us what real living is and went on the cross and died for our sins. God never wavered. And so God showed, Abraham is showing us exactly what God is about to do as he comes to us. So we looked at the challenge, we looked at the cost. Now let's look at the child. In Genesis 22, verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. Notice that the wood is laid on the shoulder of Isaac. He is carrying the burden of death upon his shoulders as he's carrying the wood. The illustration here is, this is a picture of our Lord who carried on his shoulder the wood he was to die on in John 19, 17. Jesus took his wood on his shoulder and took it up that hill. The very wood that he was going to die on for the sin of the world. And it is the same picture that Isaac is carrying in the Old Testament here. Look at the child is not carrying the wood, but he is curious as he's carrying the wood. He sees the wood on his shoulders. He sees the knife and he sees the fire, but there is no lamb for the sacrifice. And he knew that a blood sacrifice was required to allow one to enter God's presence in worship. He trusted his father, and he trusted his father's God. But today, all around the world, in many congregations, God people are asking the same question as little Isaac is asking in this text. They go to church, they see the knife, they see the fire, they see the wood, but there is no lamb. There is no lamb. They go to a beautiful building and listen to great sermons and music. They pray and give money, but they leave unchanged and unmoved. Why? They leave there asking, where is the lamb? But I want you to know that the lamb is here this morning, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is in our worship this morning. We talk about him from the beginning of the worship to the end of the worship. We come here because of him. We come here because he sacrificed his life on the cross. We're going through the process of Lent, not because of us, but because of what our Lord and Savior did. He came and washed away our sins and cleansed us and made us whole again. And this is the reason we gather here. The Lamb is in the house. His name is Jesus Christ. Isaac was not only curious, but he was also consensual, meaning he submitted his will to his father's. There is no rebellion detected in Isaac. He obeyed his father even unto death. Once again, there is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is willing to take that cross at the will of his father and die. In Matthew 26, verse 29b, he says, Jesus says these words, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Here is Jesus Christ at the will of his Father is going to take on this cross and die to bring redemption to the whole world. In John 10, verse 18a, Jesus says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." He talks about the willingness that it took for him to go on that cross and die. It was not anyone's will. He gave his will over to the Father, and he's laying down his life, not because somebody coerced him into doing so, but because he is obedient to the will of his Father. Folks, this is what God expects from the church. And as we come during this season of Lent, let us understand that this is a very sacred moment. It is a very sacred season. It is a season when the church brings her heart and turns it over to God, like Jesus did. He turns his will over to the Father's will. Like Isaac did, he turned his will over to the Father's will. This is what we come for. You understand, because the devil doesn't want us to do God's will. He makes it difficult for us. But once we turn our hearts over to God and allow his spirit to rule us and lead us and show us the way and enable us to do what he's called us to do, folk, the journey is going to be easier. And so as we reflect on what Jesus did, let us remember that as he went on that cross, he took his will and willed it to his Father. And through that, he was able to accomplish this great deal. And as we go through our journey, taking our own crosses, we must remember that what's going to make this easy is when we take our will and will it to the Father and say to him, God, your will be done in my life as you have willed it in heaven. I pray that these words from God this morning would encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast through the Lenten journey as we go through. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen.